From Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. It's finally Friday. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Coming up on the program, Todd Stacey. That's about a half hour from now. Todd is the publisher of Alabama Daily News and the host of Capital Journal Alabama Public Television. We'll hear from him. Bradley J., my colleague at Breitbart News, a good reaction to last night's speech. We'll spend some time on that. Kick off the show here. Not necessarily about the substance of the speech. I have no idea how to react to that. But the media, we got to talk about the media. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott will make time for us, so please stick around for that. So one of my jobs, I have several, is to monitor cable news and, you know, kind of put some time aside last night, watched the president's speech, and I thought it was hard for me to follow. I don't know about you guys. But I was more interested in the reaction. And I knew what the reaction was going to be. But let me set this up for you. So ABC, NBC, MS Now, and most of the CNN, they all approached like, well, we're not going to show this live. This president has a tendency to say things that are false or that are lies or whatever. And it's kind of comical, this whole idea that these are trusted arbiters, like gatekeepers, and they're going to filter through what they think is meant for your consumption because you're not sophisticated enough to see the world through their educated lens, which is fine. Like, all you got to do is turn the channel to Fox News, and they're going to play the entirety of it. If you wanted to see the speech, your options are CBS and Fox News. CBS under Barry Weiss. It was heavily, like, they read like five disclaimers on CBS before they aired it. And it really wasn't a speech like, hey, I won 2020, and, you know, it was just like, there are like real nefarious international foreign forces trying to meddle in American elections. Okay, whatever. We know that, but do we really know the specifics? We suspect it, I guess I should say. But it was amazing because after the speech wrapped, I'm sitting by watching Fox News, watching CNN, watching MS Now. And Fox News, they air about 15 minutes of Hannity. And then they go to like a pre-taped Gutfeld. Where Gutfeld wasn't even hosting. He was on vacation. They had Kat Timpf. They didn't even air a live program responding to this speech. But he's kind of like, well, there's nothing really there. But what was like more intriguing is the amount of time the CNN and MS Now did to try to debunk the speech. So I'm trying to like put yourself in these shoes of a average CNN viewer. Say you're like stuck at the airport in a prolonged flight delay. And you're sitting there, you don't have an Admirals Club membership or a Sky Club or whatever, and you're held captive. All the bars have closed. The only thing open at the food court is the all-night Wendy's, and you're stuck at this airport, and you're watching CNN, and they're kind of plodding along there. And then they just come all out on offense against this thing that you didn't see. Like this thing that happened that was so bad, so wrong, just full of misinformation. What are you talking about? Well, this thing that we didn't show you. And it was even worse on the formerly MSNBC. Like, I couldn't get past it. Like, so I'm sitting there like, okay, I'll see what the cable news reaction is to this, and it's predictable. You'll have, like, they had, like, Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, and they had their roundtable panel, Scott Jennings versus the world. On Fox, they're talking about, like, the squeeze-ass Florida license plate or whatever. Yucking it up about today's, or yesterday's memes, I should say. And it's like, what am I supposed to do with this? The network that shows the speech in its entirety has already moved on. And the two liberal networks, news networks, they're like very, very hell-bent on debunking everything that was in the speech. More on that in a moment, by the way. And it's like this thing that we didn't show you because we didn't think that you were able to comprehend it without our knowledgeable ears and eyes. It was just wrong. And they go through every like nuance and detail. Why didn't they just show the speech and then debunk it? It's the weirdest thing. It's a damnedest thing. I thought the speech itself, it felt like he was reading it too much. Just straight from the teleprompter. The delivery just didn't hit like I thought it needed to. Not under the substance of it, and all the documents are very important. And I think we got to at least be open-minded about it. But there's no open-mindedness on the other side here. So I find it all kind of stunning that like they spent like 3 hours trying to debunk this speech. A presidential speech that 99% of the time does get primetime coverage. It's not anything that Trump has abused. You know, like, if you go back to Obama, when they were trying to pass Obamacare, there was like something every month, and the networks just went along with it. And I think finally, like, it was Big Fox who said, we're going to show something else, like reality TV or something. And it was just like, how awful. How disrespectful of a duly elected president of the United States. And I kind of, like, laugh at how that's changed. You don't have to respect the office anymore. You don't have to respect the presidential primetime address. You just have to spend time making sure it's debunked. So anyway, they get their usual like disgraced deep staters to come on TV and talk about, there's no proof of this. There's no evidence of this. There's no way the Chinese can infiltrate American elections. They're secure. And just like, what, 8 years ago, we were in, like, hardcore Russia collusion, Macedonian bot farms. I mean, the contradictions abound here. That the Russians were sophisticated enough to infiltrate American elections, but not the Chinese. I don't think the left thinks it. What they got the win they think they got. Because they, I will acknowledge that I think that the speech was that great. and I don't know about the substance. They didn't show it. So this thing you didn't see, this thing that you are only going to have to take our word for, was so bad and so full of, chock full of lies and misinformation from a crazy man. I mean, it kind of falls on deaf ears. You don't get Trump. If they really thought that this was going to be something that that Trump was doing, self-inflicting damage to Republicans here, why wouldn't you just show the speech? Why wouldn't you just give it to him and show him and say, oh? But they didn't. They said, there's this weird phenomenon. I've been dealing with it my whole career. Journalists and editors that I've worked for in the past who think of themselves as like gatekeepers. Well, we're the educated ones. Now, look, I don't think you need to print and publish every harebrained conspiracy, every Facebook missive, and investigate that. I think you have to kind of, the way you have to approach is, what does your audience care about? And if you think that they care about it, then you dedicate time to it. But I've had editors say, well, you know, we're the smart ones here. We're the ones with the communications degree from a state college. And the public needs us to have a discerning eye. Well, they kind of rejected that. I hated that. It's like, no, if it's a public, credible public official, you don't need to just like get Joe down at the end of the bar who's got a bunch of gripes about government and chemtrails or whatever and give them a platform. Well, they seem like a credible person with credentials or a track record. That's up. You put it out there and you let the audience decide. Your audience. You gotta trust your audience. But they don't, the media, there's an elitism. And I used to think, well, maybe there's something to this elitism. I mean, these guys, they went to like Ivy League schools and they kind of know the world. They like actually worked with these people. And they're just, they're pseudo intellectuals. They awkward, socially awkward. Don't really understand the world. They're very well read. They know all the classics. They understand some concepts. But you turn them loose in the real world somewhere, and it's, they're like a fish out of water. Like, well, these people who are telling us how we should approach things, what we should think, that they're not what I thought they were. You got to know when the whole, so I don't know what the right balance is there, but that's sort of what we saw on display last night. With the reaction to Trump's address. More on that. We'll get to your text on the other side. 251-343-0106. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. When the dealing's done.
Every gambler knows. It's midnight in Montgomery. Just here.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Coming up here in the next segment, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. So stay tuned. For that, let's see what we got here. Hi, Jeff. What about these panty-waist whack job liberals spewing all the craziness about the Blue Angels flying too low? They tried to correlate it right back to Trump, just like every other non-liberal idea. What say you? I mean, they're flying too low. They're flying too low. I don't know. I don't think it's like, hey, guys, let's be reckless with our million-dollar machinery here, or multi-million-dollar machinery. I don't think that's a presidential problem. I think that is a, hey, who is your... Who is your commanding officer here? What's going on? If indeed there's a problem. G from L.A. That is why you should be watching Newsmax. LCB is more worried about fulfilling their own agenda without reporting any truth. I actually tried to do that, and it was kind of... It was mixed. There really wasn't a lot of, like, conservative media reaction on... broadcast. So, you know, let me tell you what I do for Breitbart News. I've been doing this for now almost 14 years now. I have a couple employees. One lives in Washington, D.C. One lives in L.A. And we watch cable news. And I kind of more these days manage it than I do the actual watching. But I haven't always have it on. And we pull clips from TV, interesting things that were said by either opinion leaders or political figures, policymakers, whatever, celebrities, and write a story based on that. It's just sort of keeping an eye on what's going on in the news, in the media, and... Typically, it's a little background, a lead, and then the quote, and then we embed the video. So one of my employees, he kind of focuses on CNN. The other one, she focuses on MS Now. And I take Fox and Newsmax and conservative media. But as it turned out, there really wasn't any conservative media to be had reacting to the speech, and which I find peculiar, by the way. I don't know what to make of that. And even this morning, kind of looking through Fox and Friends and the Maria Bartiromo show, didn't really see a whole lot that caught my attention. So I don't know what to make of that. Why they're not really playing this up a little bit more than they are. I just don't know. And then it's like on the liberal networks, it's like Trump lies, debunked conspiracy theories, and but about a speech that we didn't show. Mike, if Russia supposedly hacked the 2016 election and China supposedly hacked the 2020, then who hacked 2024? Also, what's your over under on what's going to hack the 2028. Damn Yankee massive censorship by the media. Not sure they're afraid of reporting on what would it take to fix it. It's economics. They have a First Amendment right. It's not censorship. They're not the government. They're not telling you that you can't. They're just choosing not. They're just ignoring it. Or they're not ignoring it. That's it. If I were, so like, and I was thinking about this, like the way they're like talking about it, and it seems self-defeating. If you really don't want people aware of what the president's saying, there's this thing called the Streisand effect. And I can't help but think these people are going to watch it and be like, well, wonder what he said. It seems a little irresponsible just to be that dismissive. He is the president of the United States. He's not just, like I said, he's not a random guy at the end of the bar spouting this. This is someone who does have access to a lot of information. And you put it out there and you let people make up their own mind. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.
Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside of Moby with the Memphis Blues again. Mona tried to tell me.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, hit us up on that text line. Still to come on the program, Bradley J, who's going to be filling in for me some while I'm out and then over the next couple of weeks. I'll give you the details on that later on. And then Chris Elliott, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, my state senator. So please stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, we do this every Friday. He is the publisher of Alabama Daily News, also the host of Capital Journal at Alabama Public Television. Our good friend Todd Stacey is with us. Todd, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. So we kind of talking about this offline, and I got to kind of set this up, and you didn't really have to see the speech or anything. But I'm sure you kind of seen some of the reaction, and it got me thinking about, so a lot of the cable news and two of the three big broadcast networks didn't show the speech, and they have their reasons and they have their editorial judgment, and they didn't show it. And it just kind of got me thinking, then they spend copious amounts of time talking about the speech, but they don't show it. And it was the opposite on Fox. Now CBS was kind of different. I guess with Barry Weiss, it's a whole different, I don't know. I haven't really got a grasp of what's going on there. Well, Fox, they show it, and they don't really talk about it. They just they showed it. They did 15 minutes on Hannity, and then it's pre-taped, whatever, after that.
So it's the opposite, you're saying?
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating. They're hey, this thing we didn't show you, it was wrong and full of lies. And then the others, this thing we showed you, well, it just was a blip on the radar. But anyway, I guess the point is, and you and I have been in this business a long time. I mean, you've been on both sides of it. Knowing the PR side, the news side, but this whole idea of where we are with gatekeeping and journalists and the responsibility editors have. And I'm not saying that we just need to open the floodgates and let every crazy kooky thing give it credibility by giving it attention. But sort of this idea that it takes the learned eyes of a well-seasoned professional to decide what's fit for public consumption. Maybe at one time, maybe 20 years ago and before that, that was more of a thing. I don't think that really works in today's sort of information floodgate era.
Yeah, I mean, but I didn't watch the speech. Sorry. But it seems to me it was kind of made for cable. I mean, when you ask for time, when the president asks for time on broadcast networks, NBC, CBS, ABC, you're asking those networks to not run their money-making programming, right?
Yes.
Especially on a Thursday night, must-see TV, that kind of stuff. And so got to have a good reason for that. Selling a major initiative or, killing bin Laden or, whatever. I mean, that's kind of, and so this, I don't really blame networks for saying, hey, we're not going to, interrupt our regular programming for something that is really kind of meant for cable or more suited for cable news, which I guess I'm guessing most of those ran it.
Fox. I mean,
CNN
others,
didn't run it.
That's what was fascinating about it. CNN came in and out of it. MSNBC or MS Now didn't show it at all. But then after it's over, that's all they talked about. Well, they did talk about it for 30, 40 minutes, and then they went on to other things. Fox News went to pre-tape Gutfeld. And That's what was weird to me. Like, they didn't show this thing. They didn't show that they spent a lot of time on talking about. And so that gets back to
this. If you're going to talk about
right. That gets back to this gatekeeping thing. The question is like, okay, this news event happens and we don't think that we're going to show it in its entirety because we don't know what he's going to say, but we're going to spend time talking about it. It's just, it's a weird world we live in.
Yeah. I'll agree with you there. Like let's take the broadcast networks out of it and like the cable news. If you're CNN and you're going to spend a lot of time talking about it, you might as well show the genuine article, right? I mean, otherwise that is a little bit disingenuous, but it's curious. And I didn't catch the Fox stuff either, but like, it's curious that they didn't spend a lot of time talking about it. But I mean, that aside, you know, networks are going to do what they're going to do. I'm not really surprised by any of it. I am curious about why this is the message right now, for the White House. And there's a lot of stuff going on, and I understand that the president really wants to get the Save America Act passed. And maybe the speech, I didn't watch it. Sorry. I was doing other things, but like, maybe this helped a little bit. I guess that was the goal. But revisiting, to me, revisiting 2020 is just a loser.
Well,
it's just a losing message.
They didn't really do that. I mean, it was more, I mean, there was a little bit of that, but it was more like foreign governments interfering. And then, which is exactly what we spent a lot of time on with in 17 after Russia collusion and all of that. And there was a lot of talk about that. And, you know, just the Chinese and the Venezuelans, for some reason, were what that he was really, really trying to push across the line there. And maybe it was just this, that these guys really didn't know what to expect. But it was this. It was just that they spent a lot of time talking about it. But it got me thinking, like, we have to make editorial calls all the time. And you choose to cover a story and not to cover a story. We talked about this, like, when the rumors are floating around the State House last session. And, you know, like, what are we going to give credibility to or credence to? And sure, we talk about it on talk radio. But it's just like in this era, how things sort of like the gatekeeper like concept is, it seems a little antiquated.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to remember what, I mean, there's always rumors, but
somebody was going to be indicted any day now. And
Well, I guess talk radio is a little different than putting something out there that's going to be on the internet forever, or, you know, certainly broadcast television, that kind of thing. So yeah, you got to be careful about what you put. You know, one thing, you can get sued. You know, like, if you're not completely buttoned up with your sources, you can get into trouble, and I don't think that's good for anybody.
No, and you got to be careful with who your sources are. I guess it's like trying to determine who's credible, who's not. And
I do that all the time with like Inside Alabama Politics. We're working on a new edition now. And that's very like rumor based, and you know, the rumors and rumblings of the State House and the Capitol and all that. And so,
but you would
that,
say, okay, this rumor's fraud. This rumor's coming from somebody who I think is a reliable person, right?
Yeah. Well, what I try to do is just check it out. Like, just, if one person tells you something, okay, because what they're a lot of times trying to do is get whatever they're saying in print. Like, hey, this is going on. And I would be irresponsible if I just went and just printed that without like checking with other people and making sure that it's actually holds up. You know, and so yeah, I do that as a matter of practice for, you know, good reasons. I want to make sure whatever we print is actually true. But also, I mean, you know, it's just really unfair to go with something that you don't actually know is, holds up.
Well, the thing is, like, on the state level, and then this is what I find to kind of be the case here. It's like somebody will tell somebody something, and then you'll hear it from, like, see, you hear this thing from like three or four different lawmakers, and then these are like verifiably reliable people. but there's like this self-feeding loop, right? Like they start telling each other something and then they start telling you and you hear it from like three or four. They'd be like, well, maybe there's something to this. And you start trying to walk through that path and you find out, well, it's just the same one lawmaker, or same source it's all coming from.
Exactly. Right. So you need to kind of have a diversity of like groups or cliques that you're talking to. Like if it's just, one person can start the same rumor, and that doesn't mean you're checking it out just because that this person, it doesn't confirm the rumor if it's all, just that same source.
Yeah.
But
well, a lot of it just has to meet the plausibility test, and some of it you could see. And then like you start chasing these things, and I've been burned so many times. I can't tell you how much wasted effort in chasing these things down I've spent.
Same.
And it's frustrating, but you just can't. That's where I think you got to be like a gatekeeper. And a lot of times at this level, your sources are really, really guarded. They don't want to be associated with whatever said rumor is,
Oh yeah, that's absolutely true. Hey, you didn't hear it from me, but this is what's going on. And yeah, it's our job to run things down, but we would be irresponsible if it was just anything we hear, we just throw up on Twitter or throw up on the internet, whatever. Because that in itself perpetuates something, and that's sometimes you got to look at people's motives. That's our job. That's our job. You got to look at people's motives. Oh, why do you want this? Why might you want this out there? Because it would help you,
Yeah. And the other thing is, I mean, you got to look at motives, and you also got to be like, I don't know. You got somebody comes to me with stuff now. They've had to like show me something in the past to say, okay, this sounds real. But the other thing is like, we're in this race to be first. And I don't think it's as bad here in Alabama as it is maybe in national media, but the race to be first also like causes a lot of unforced errors.
Oh, there's no question about it. It exists here too. I kind of quit worrying about that a little bit just because the environment got so saturated and I guess, we're all kind of competing, but like, I would much rather have substance and be right and get the true story. I mean, we're not exactly a breaking news kind of outlet. And so I've kind of let that, if it's something huge, obviously any news organization wants to be the first to break a huge story. And if you got something, you want to protect it and make sure that you're the first to break it. But If it's something that everybody's going to have anyway, I'm just not that jealous anymore of, we got to be first, because I'd much rather be right than be embarrassed.
Well, we don't necessarily have like a, breaking news environment. Typically, if it's like big enough to be breaking news to where you change or you do it your way where you set up your newsletter every day, you populate your page, and to upset that routine, to do something where you have a breaking
news. Yeah, it's got
to
be pretty big.
It's got to be pretty big. And we have that from time to time, but typically like the big news is like everybody's going to be made aware of it around the same time. We don't really have an environment where we break news and we got to be first because we're the only ones that have it. I mean, usually if you got something that's kind of exclusive, it can wait. And I always thought this is like, let's give it a little time and sleep on it or let it marinate and make sure before we go with it. And so we got kind of like a rhythm, right?
Well, also it's a little different these days. Like, I mean, you're probably like me. I read Twitter a lot, right? That's kind of a vestige. I'm not sure how many people are actually super onto Twitter anymore. And so like, let's just say we break a story at 11 o'clock today. And because that's the first place we'd go with it was Twitter and Facebook and all that. I mean, I'm sure people would see it, but it's not like, okay, if we did it at 11 o'clock and y'all did it at 11:15, does anybody care?
No.
Who was first? And so it's just not as big of a deal. So I'd rather, again, have our sources buttoned up and have everything right and not have typos in the copy.
Yeah, I just don't think we have a lot of like high impact breaking news. And every now and then it's like maybe more recently like a Supreme Court decision comes out that impacts Alabama or something like that. Then you need to roll, but that's something that like everyone's going to have. If you had this like big exclusive about corruption or something and you just go run with it immediately, I think that sets you up for some traps.
Right, and I mean, every news outlet is different. Everybody's got a different revenue model and editorial process and everything. I don't think our readers are just, you know, depending on us to be first and be, you know, oh, well, yeah, this thing happened and, man, we were first to break it. I think our readers are more worried about, you know, did you get it right? Is this accurate? Is it true? Does it hold up? And so when I first started Daily News 9 years ago, by the way, I was like into like, oh man, we've really got to be the first to get everything. I'm not anymore. I don't think that matters as much as it does getting things right. And, wow. And to your point about gatekeeping, I mean, yes, you have to make editorial decisions. You have to, I mean, we would be irresponsible if we just let every little rumor and innuendo fly. And so that's always been the job of the media, and that's just, you know, that comes with the territory, you know, love it or hate it.
Yeah, well, and I just think, like, if you're not going to be first with it, don't just do the same story. Like, you know, somebody like AL.com, for example, breaks a story. Well, we got to do something with this, but let's do something different. Let's get comment from somebody or do something that gives something, a little something extra to the story, to whatever the narrative is, that adds some color or whatever. That it's not just the same story that everybody else has.
Right. Well, my favorite is always when we do have some kind of scoop, and especially like behind the paywall and inside Alabama politics, and then AL.com just takes it and puts it off on the internet.
Especially the polls you pay for.
Well, we've had some conversations. We're in a good place now about all that. But yeah, they used to really just I guess you'd call it scrapping, like just, you know, ripping it off the paywall and just going with it. It's like, dude, yeah, I paid $15,000 for that poll. You're gonna just take it? Come on.
Yeah, and then I you handle that. You let that, you bury the hatchet on that stuff a lot sooner than I would have. Hey, Todd, we got to get out of here, get to the break. But before we do, tell folks what you got on Capital Journal and tell them how to read your website.
Good episode of Capital Journal tonight. Going to be talking with Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed. There's a lot going on. Jackson Hospital, there's this huge bond issue thing. Of course, the issue of crime. Also going to be talking with State Representative Chris Blackshear about sports, NIL, transfer portal, also gambling, and also Alabama Shakespeare Festival. They've got a brand new season. They're dealing with Beautiful, the Carole King musical. So it's a great episode of Capital Journal tonight on Alabama Public Television.
Todd, we appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon.
All right, Jeff, be good.
All right. Todd Stacey, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
It's where I drank my first beer. It's where I found Jesus. Where I wrecked my first car. I tore it all to pieces. I learned the path to heaven. Just full of sinners and believers. Learned that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievers.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. Bradley J coming up in the next hour, so stick around for that. Named Texter, Raphael Warnock is pitiful, just like Big Chunky Stacey Abrams. Butterknife, the liberal media is trying to debunk the speech of the conservative media. Just thought the speech was pointless. Finally, the conservative and the liberals agree on something. I think Todd's take on it was like, why are we really? Well, like, you don't know what was in the speech, man. Before you comment on it, there's just, you just like premeditated like assumption about the speech, and it's not credible, and I'm not going to watch it. It doesn't rise to the level of importance. You know, especially if you're in this business, you probably should have had it tuned on, turned on, and have an open mind about it. And this is what's important. You don't need to spend copious amounts of time really trying to make the most of it. And, just give your audience the opportunity to make up their own mind. And I said this, you know, a presidential speech, it's not something that Trump has really abused. It's a privilege of the president. It's not a right of the president, but it should be a privilege. And we could go back, and if you want, we could count the number of times in 2007, 2008, 2009, that Barack Obama took time to address the country for the Affordable Care Act. He used that privilege way more than Donald Trump has, I think, in his entire two terms. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.